It's the season before Easter, leading up to Easter, when it gives us a chance as followers of Jesus to reflect on who we are and how close we resemble the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a time for reflection. Some people think it's a time for giving things up for Lent, giving up chocolate for Lent. How challenging that is for some of us. Giving up coffee for Lent, or giving up whatever else. Actually, someone suggested a few years ago that what we might give up for Lent was being judgmental, critical, gossipy. Give up telling people about others when we don't actually know the detail. My mother used to be a little bit like that. She would talk to the folks around, and what she didn't know, she made up. I've met a few folks like that in Gornal as well. Lent, the time of reflection, of just checking out, for example, how different am I, how different are you from what we were last week or last year? Do we take time out just to think about how we, what our relationship is today with God? Not what it used to be, but what it is now. As we prepare for ourselves over these weeks of Lent for Easter and the reminder of Christ's sacrifice and resurrection. Lent. The two readings that we heard earlier in the service are set readings from the lectionary. That's the kind of guide, if you like, for scriptures throughout the year. And so the two readings, and it's interesting for me, of tying together two of these readings, two characters. I love reading and hearing stories about people. And I love the stories in the Bible about people. So I'm going to think a little bit about two people who are referred to in the stories that we heard earlier on. It also links in with today, with what's happening in our world today. Iran is the focus of much of the news today. And that's where we start with this story, the first of the two stories that we read earlier on. There was a city in the Persian Gulf, or at least on the coast of Iran, near the Persian Gulf. It was almost on the coast. It's not quite so much now because stuff has changed in the Gulf. Sand and silt built up over the thousands of years. And so the city that we read about this morning, or at least part of this story this morning, was the city called Ur, U-R. The city of Ur in the Chaldean area of Iran, present-day Iran. There was a family there, and the head of the family was a man called Terah, or Tira, T-E-R-A-H. And Terah was the father of Abraham and Haran and Nahor. Terah somehow or another felt dissatisfied with where he was, and he decided to move. He decided, I don't know what inspired him. Maybe God spoke into his mind. We don't know the detail. It's so far back. It's, 4,000 years ago. Gosh, it's forever. Jeff mentioned forever. 4,000 years ago, Terah decided to leave Ur in Iran to go to a land maybe he'd heard about from travelers who'd come from this land near the Mediterranean, on the Mediterranean coast, the land of Canaan. Terah set out from Ur, and he traveled north, although actually to get to Canaan, he should have traveled more west. More west. He traveled about 500, 600 miles with his family from Ur. 500 miles. That's about from here to John o' Groats in Scotland. 500 miles. Can you imagine walking that? Some people do to raise money for charities. So they walk from John o' Groats to Land's End. But from Dudley to John o' Groats, just over 500 miles. That's the distance that Terah and his family traveled, all the way up and across just a little bit into Turkey, present-day Turkey, and Syria. He must have got tired of traveling because they came to an oasis and they settled down 500 plus miles from home. And they found this nice place. Must have been okay, because they stopped there. They named the place Haran, after one of Terah's sons. It may be that Haran had died there, or died on the way there. Again, the detail is a bit flimsy. But they named the place Haran. And the Old Testament storytellers in Genesis chapter 11, it says they settled there. And they settled there for quite a long time, quite a number of years. Abram was quite young when they started out on the journey. And he was quite young when they arrived in Haran. And they stayed there for a while. And then God spoke into the heart and mind of Abram. And the Lord said to Abram, leave this place. You've been here long enough. You should be moving, because that was the purpose originally. It was to journey on to Canaan. Leave your country, your people, your father's household, and you go to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. Jeff read that earlier on, the passage from Genesis chapter 12. So when God spoke into Abram's life, Abram listened. And Abram got up and moved. He obeyed God's prompt, God's guidance, God's direction. Move. And here's the bit I like. It appealed to me. He was 75 years old when God said, move. He wasn't a youngster, but he set out from Haran and moved, following God's direction, bit by bit, coming from Haran, coming down south and west to Canaan. And when he got there, there was not much there. There was famine. So he continued traveling. Genesis 12 tells the story. He continued onwards down into Egypt. Hey, quite a journey for a 75-year-old and his family. But he obeyed. He obeyed and moved. Later on, he was to come back up into Canaan, to Hebron. Not going to dwell too much on that, but just thinking about Abram. His name was changed later. He became known as Abraham. And his wife, Sarai, became known as Sarah. Abraham. He had an encounter with God again. And the Holy Spirit of God came upon Abram, the Holy Spirit, the breath of God. And Abram became Abraham, the Spirit of God, transforming Abram. And the change of name indicated that God's Spirit was right in the heart of Abram. Abraham. I like that bit of the story. So what I want to draw from that this morning, I don't know what your situation is or where you stand at the moment in God's world, in God's work, but are you moving on? Or have you settled? Terah and the family settled, and Terah died in Haran. Abram heard God's challenge to move on. Lent gives us the opportunity to reflect on how we are moving on in the work of God. We sang a few moments ago that we will stand on the promises. I remember hearing a great preacher from Northern Ireland, the Reverend Ian Paisley. You may have heard of him. Ian Paisley, I remember him preaching on one occasion, and he said in his typical forthright way, "There's far too many of you sitting on the premises. You're not standing on the promises." Are you sitting on the premises? Or are you moving? You see, that's part of the process, if you like, of reflecting in this season of Lent. Where am I now with God? Has he moved on and left me behind? Notice in the New Testament, the number of times Jesus is recorded as saying, "Follow me. Follow me." And again, another Irish friend of mine says, "You're only a follower if you're following." Have you settled? Or are you following? It's a challenge that I've been asking myself as I've reflected on these stories. Abraham moved under the direction of the Holy Spirit of God. He became the father of a great nation. His descendants were like the stars or the sand on the seashore. You couldn't compute, you couldn't calculate his descendants. The promise of God, "I'll make you into a great nation, I will bless you, and you will be a blessing to others." I like that promise as well. God says to us, to you and to me this morning, "I'll bless you," and he does. "I'll bless you so that you can bless others." That's God's plan for you and me. And Jesus says, "Follow me." The other story that John read for us, the story about a man called Nicodemus, a religious leader in the time of Jesus. And he had heard Jesus. He had been listening to Jesus because, as one of the religious leaders, it was his duty to check out on any new kind of preachers that came along. Were they preaching the orthodox message? I remember years ago when I first started preaching around the Gornal and Sedgley circuit, one of the questions I was asked, "Will you be preaching Methodist doctrine?" Nicodemus was checking out this man, Jesus. He'd heard him preach. He'd seen miracles being performed. And Nicodemus comes under cover of darkness. He doesn't want people to see him connecting with Jesus at that time. And he comes under cover of darkness to meet with Jesus. And he says, I know you're a teacher who has come from God. He recognized the authority that Jesus had as the Spirit of Jesus spoke and acted through him. And Nicodemus saw that. We know who you are. I know who you are. And for a time, Nicodemus, I guess, was a secret follower of Jesus. But he comes to talk with Jesus. He wants to know more about Jesus' message and Jesus' purpose in life. Hey, folks, can I be rude? Can I ask, have you been learning more about Jesus since you started to follow him, since you put your trust in him? Do you know him better today than you did a week or two or 3 years ago or whatever? Nicodemus wanted to get to know more about this man, Jesus, and the message of life that he was sharing. He had done some amazing things. He'd said some remarkable things. And Nicodemus wanted to explore that. He wanted to know more about this man, Jesus, who had come from God. And Jesus talks with him and talks about being born again, having new life. Now, the idea of being born again wasn't a new idea for Nicodemus. In Jewish culture, when a boy became a man, it was said that he was being born again. When a man and woman entered into marriage, it was said that they were being born again. That was part of the cultural understanding, the way of describing things. So when Jesus said, you have to be born again, Nicodemus says, but I've been through all that. And anyhow, how is that possible when I'm grown up and an adult and how can I be born again? And Jesus explains that it's not about keeping rules. Oh, Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was locked into keeping rules and regulations. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. Have you noticed a lot of the commandments are a bit like that? Thou shalt not. Nicodemus was one for the rules and regulations. And Jesus begins to talk to him and show him that the Spirit, when the Spirit of God comes into our lives, he brings with himself freedom, the unexpected, the uncharted. The illustration that Jesus used was, well, you can see the effect of the wind. In fact, I can look out the window now. It's blowing the trees. But you can't tell where it's coming or where it's going. The wind moves in ways that you can't control. And the Spirit moves in ways that you can't control. Sometimes, Nicodemus, you've got to get rid of the restrictions of the structures of religion. I've mentioned before that I don't believe in religion. I said that to a fellow in the pub a few months ago. This fellow came in and he was introduced. They said, oh, Bill is a man of the cloth. You know, he's a vicar. Well, I'm neither, well, really. I always said, I don't believe in all that religion stuff. And I said, neither do I. I don't believe in religion. I believe in a relationship. A relationship with God through Jesus. And the man said, tell me more. I've never heard about that. How can I have a relationship with God? So for the past few weeks when I've met this fella again and again, I've been trying to help him understand what it means to have a relationship with God, being born again. And that's really what Jesus was saying to Nicodemus. You've got to have a renewal of life, not the natural life into which we were born, but the life in the Spirit. Nicodemus knew that there was something missing in his life, and he wanted to find out if that gap in his life could be filled by whatever Jesus had. Forgive me, sort of talking about myself. I don't want to blow my trumpet in that sense, but part of the work that I do takes me into pubs and into local community stuff. And I was at a committee meeting recently in the Red Lion, just up the road here. And as we were coming to an end of the committee meeting, somebody knocked on the door. And the door opened, and a friend of mine stuck his head around the door and said, "Bill, when you're finished, could you come through to the other side of the pub, of the bar?" So I said, "Yeah, be with you in a minute." When the meeting ended, I went through to the other side of the bar looking for my friend, Steve, his name. He wasn't there. So I said, "Where's Steve?" He was asking for me. And this fella, standing by the bar, said, "It wasn't Steve that wanted to see you, it was me." He said, "I've been looking for you. I've tried several pubs." I said, "But I saw you through there." He said, "Can I talk?" I said, "Of course. How can I help?" He said, "Well, 2 or 3 weeks ago, my mother-in-law died. It made me think, Bill, I'm lost. And I want to be found." So we went through to the room where the committee had been meeting. It was now empty, this room. And I was able to talk with him, pray with him, point him towards Jesus. "I'm lost," he said, "but I want to be found." And I assured him that what the Bible says, those who seek me, says the scripture, those who seek me will be found by me. And pray for my friend, Nigel was his name. Pray for Nigel, that God will convince him of new life, so that he no longer feels lost. I guess Nicodemus was a bit like that. Oh, he had got all the structure of religion and all the stuff that he practiced formally in the temple or the synagogue, but it seems to me to be about Nicodemus, "I'm lost." And Jesus points him to himself, the Son of Man, who came into our world to show that he was also the Son of God. Now, you might be here in church this morning and you feel lost. Or it might be that you feel constricted by rules and regulations. And I mean, when I was growing up in Scotland, it was so bad on a Sunday, the things you couldn't do on a Sunday. My granny used to put the cover over the budgie's cage so that it didn't sing on a Sunday. Freedom. Abram heard the voice of God. He listened, he obeyed, and he journeyed on. He didn't remain settled. Nicodemus discovers life. He became a follower of Jesus. And when Jesus died on the cross, Nicodemus was one of the people who came and said, "Can we take his body?" Nicodemus came out from undercover, as it were, and demonstrated that he related to Jesus. And Nicodemus and others took the body of Jesus and prepared it for burial. Nicodemus found life, unlimited life, following on from his conversation with Jesus at night. You've been ever so good, you know. You've listened ever so well. Maybe God has spoken into you, your heart and mind today on this second Sunday of Lent. Maybe for us here this morning, there's a time, this is a time for us to reflect on what kind of relationship we have with Jesus. Let's pause for a moment or two of silence, and then I'll pray. Holy Spirit of God, search our hearts, prompt us in your own unique way, that we might not just hear the stories of people who lived 2,000, 4,000 years ago. Help us to discover a relationship with you today, renewing our commitment to you, and for you to renew your commitment to us. I pray for my friends here that you might meet us where we are. Help us to sift through who we are and what we're doing in terms of our following of you. Help us to be true followers, truly active in sharing our faith day by day. We sang earlier on, Holy Spirit, come and search us. Come and be with us. And take us forward in your plans and your purposes, that we might know that we're in the right place at the right time, following you day by day. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for blessing us already today. Thank you for enriching our lives through your word and through the songs that we've been singing. And take us forward into our forever relationship with you. Thank you, loving God. Amen.